until both sides ratify the deal. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
It attacks the brain, and you might not know what hit you.
It's a stroke, and it can cripple or kill you.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. There's no time to waste.
It could even be a sudden, severe headache without cause.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity
all make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. My guest today, David Ray Griffin, has some pretty explosive allegations to make. He is the author of two books. The first is The New Pearl Harbor, Disturbing Questions About the Bush Administration and 9/11. And the second is the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. David Ray Griffin is a professor of theology at the Claremont School of Theology, and his books have, well, they, if they are true, then our president, the Bush administration, the really the whole apparatus behind the government is not just negligent in allowing 9/11 to occur, but they are complicit in it. And if he's right, the president, in my view, and I think in the view of 99% of Americans, would need not just to be impeached, but to be executed for the murder of 3,000 Americans. Now, those are very strong words, but David Ray Griffin doesn't mince words. And I have to say, in reading The New Pearl Harbor, he raises some very difficult questions, some of which I find quite persuasive, some of which I don't. But all of which he will be on air to discuss with you. Let me just break it down somewhat, because I think that just because some of the things Professor Griffin says I haven't been persuaded of yet doesn't in any way take from the things that not only do I believe, but have reported here on the show. Some of the things I've reported on the show, of course, is the use of 9/11 by the Bush administration to put in plans, pre-existing plans, for invasion of Iraq and to some extent Afghanistan. The connection between Bush and the Saudis and the bin Laden family, and the fact that, which came out in Craig Unger on this show and also by Michael Moore, that he allowed some of the people who knew about 9/11 to escape. The principled work of Sibel Edmonds talking about spies in the FBI, or the fact that the people who allowed 9/11 to occur, who did not allow the Phoenix memo, Colleen Rowley's memo, all the information we had about the 9/11 hijackers to reach policymakers who would stop it, that all these people have been promoted rather than fired. And that's a difficult question. I have no answer for that. I have no answer for why the Bush administration has constantly sought to cover up 9/11. My speculation is that they want to cover up the evidence because of their own negligence. But there are questions that I can't answer. Our NORAD plans, one of the most persuasive things I found in the new Pearl Harbor was the fact that our planes were not scrambled in time to shoot down the jets. Or, in fact, the what I also find persuasive to be the stock market puts, they're called, where people sold stock in advance based on airlines going down. But to me, that shows advanced knowledge of the attacks, maybe not Bush administration knowledge. Then there's some things that David Ray Griffin says that would be really incredible if they're true. I'm not convinced yet. Things like that the planes didn't bring down the World Trade Center. Explosives did, both North and South Towers and World Trade Center 7. That a plane did not hit the Pentagon, that the steel of the World Trade Center could not be weakened by the impact enough to bring it down. And there are a lot of difficult questions here. I'm going to, though, to be quiet and turn it over to David Ray Griffin. But let me just say that just because I haven't fully accepted some of this doesn't mean I can't be persuaded, doesn't mean you can't be persuaded, and doesn't mean that the things I haven't mentioned are truly awful stuff. Professor Griffin, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
It's good to be with you, Mark.
Let me start, I guess, wherever you want to start. Let me start with something, though, that I found extremely persuasive in your book, and that is the NORAD, the fact that our North American air defense systems were not scrambled in time to shoot down the planes that were hijacked on 9/11. Could you expound on that, please?
Yes, and then the story even gets worse, because what we have are really three versions. But to back up to what should have happened, according to standard operating procedures, normally if there are any of the classic signs that a plane may have been hijacked, you know, it goes radically off course and doesn't immediately come back on when it's called back, or if it loses radio contact and they can't reestablish it fairly quickly, or if the transponder is turned off. Well, on this day, two or three of those things happened with each of the planes, and yet the FAA, which was then supposed to call the military within a minute or two, and normally does that, and then the military would call the nearest Air Force base that has planes on alert and tell them to scramble planes, send a couple jet fighters up, and intercept the flights and see what's going wrong, and then decide or get orders what to do. Normally that happens within 10 to 15, at most 20 minutes, and yet on that morning, much longer went by than that.
Professor Griffin, let me ask you, when you say this normally is done 10 or 20 minutes, I understand that's the procedure. Has this been done in the past with other planes? Or is this something where hijackings are so rare in the United States that it's a procedure that had never been implemented?
Well, hijackings are rare, but possible hijackings are very common. So scrambling planes is very common. So we do have a figure that in the 8 months prior to 9/11,
Professor
there were
Griffin,
67.
There were 67. We're going to get back to that. I'm afraid we have to take a break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell that saves from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan's speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address reagancollection.com.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging. passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest today, David Ray Griffin, professor of Claremont School of Theology, raises some very disturbing questions about September 11th. Questions that I fully admit cry out for more investigation, but they suggest that the President of the United States, the Bush administration, was not only negligent in failing to stop 9/11, but was actually complicit in it. And we were talking before the break about the failure to shoot down the planes that hit the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Professor Griffin, I had to interrupt you to go to break. Is there anything more you want to say on that?
Well, yes. And so within a few days, I mean, immediately after 9/11, General Myers, who was the acting chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and also Mike Snyder, who was the NORAD spokesman, both of them said, well, we didn't send any planes up until after the Pentagon was hit. In other words, until about an hour and a half after the first signs of trouble. Well, immediately, a few senators started saying, well, gee, that sounds like a stand down. Let's see what was going on here. Rather quickly, they came out with a news story, and this became the official story that, yes, indeed, they had sent up planes. But in each case, they were late getting there, primarily because the FAA was so slow in notifying them. But then a bunch of people, 9/11 truth people, start doing the math, and they said, well, just a minute, even if the FAA was as late as you said in notifying you, you still had time, you still should have got there, because those planes can fly 1,800 miles an hour, the F-15s. And so that still nevertheless remained the main story until the 9/11 Commission report came out, and then we got a third version saying, oh, no, that was wrong, what we've been saying for the last 2.5 years. Actually, we only got 9 minutes notification for the first flight, and that wasn't enough. And we didn't get any notification for the other three flights until after they had crashed. Well, you know, you start getting very suspicious when people start giving you different versions.
Professor
and
Griffin,
yet the press has not covered this fact that we have three different official stories by now.
And I think you make a very strong point that they gave different explanations, that they haven't given explanation for the different accounts. Let me ask you this. If I were building a case as a lawyer, you know, and I were building a case, one for negligence and another one for maliciousness, that the Bush administration actively caused September 11th, if I were the opposing jury, and I was just the opposing lawyer, I was just opposing the case of maliciousness, I would say, well, how about this theory? Let me give you a theory and tell me if you think that it's possibly true. The Bush administration negligently failed to use standard operating procedure. The vice president, who I think is much more in charge than the president, found out about it but was too scared, too afraid, too much of a coward for his own safety, the president's safety. Maybe he feared political reprisals if he were to shoot down a passenger plane, but for whatever reason, negligently failed to shoot down the planes in time. Then, when it was determined what happened, did indeed cover up the story and give all kinds of alternative explanations to hide his extreme negligence that landed, 3,000 Americans died, so that's a colossal act of negligence, even if it's not malicious. Is that a possible explanation, or you think it's not?
See, what we have here is a very big story with lots of different dimensions to it. And, what you're doing is trying to construct the best possible account. And here you have in the philosophy of science, they talk about inference to the best explanation. And that best explanation has to take account of all of the relevant facts. So, sure, if you take one dimension of it, you can come up with this other scenario. But that's why, as I stress in the book, it is a cumulative case that the 9/11 truth community has assembled, and I just summarized it in my first book.
Okay.
And when you get to the question you mentioned in your lead-in about the World Trade Center, and you see that so much of the evidence suggests that it was an inside job, and you realize Muslim terrorists could not have got in the buildings to do the wiring and plant the explosive. This would take thousands of man hours. And then many other dimensions of the story point more directly to complicity.
Okay, fair enough. And I definitely want to get to the questions about the explosives. But before I do that, I've got a couple callers on the line. Let me start with Jeff from Michigan. Jeff is one of the reasons you're on the show, Professor Griffin. He very much wanted to hear you and to hear Alex Jones. Jeff, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good day to you, Mark and Mr. Griffin. I'd like to speak about the Pentagon today.
Okay, start on the Pentagon. We'll get to the explosives in the second half. In the World Trade Center, whether they exist or not, we'll deal with that in the second half. Go ahead, ask about the Pentagon.
Okay, initially researchers questioning the official story had stated that they believed the government used truck bombs to, or at least a truck bomb to create the hole in the Pentagon. In response to that, the government released five grainy video stills of the impact, which proved that there was no truck bomb. Since they already forewent claims of national security by releasing the five video stills, and since the stills do not even show a commercial airliner of any kind in them, we should all insist they release the entire uncut, unedited video immediately, as they have no excuse not to if the official story is in fact truth. And the video would prove or disprove both claims on both sides of the debate simultaneously, so all opinions would become non-factors when the full evidence is made known to all concerned, and this would account for at least one-third of all questions about a possible inside job. So I really do feel
it's a fair point.
Freedom of Information Act or whatever would be used to put pressure on the government to release the full unedited videos, and not just one, but all of them.
Yeah, it's a very good point, and there have, in fact, been many different theories as to what actually hit the Pentagon. There's been the missile theory. There's been the small plane theory. There's been the theory that it was a Boeing 757, just not Flight 77. But actually, people have tried to use the Freedom of Information Act, and in that, the Justice Department did confirm that those videos, that video that was confiscated from the service station across the street does mm-hmm. exist, but the 9/11 Commission, which could have subpoenaed it, did not do it, just like they didn't subpoena anything else.
Professor Griffin, where is that video now?
It's with the Justice Department.
It's with the Justice Department. Do we know whether the people at the service station have seen the video?
No, the FBI miraculously showed up within 5 minutes of when the Pentagon was struck. You would think that, you know, they would have been discombobulated. First time in history the Pentagon's been struck.
I'll tell you what I'd like, we have to take another break. But when we come back, I'd love if you know the name of that service station and the people in it. I'd love to get them here on the Inside Scoop. If you have calls, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30%, 50%, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. and this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, dental.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest, Professor David Ray Griffin, is the author of The New Pearl Harbor, Disturbing Questions About the Bush Administration and 9/11, and also the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. My caller on the phone, Jeff from Michigan, asked about a video taken by a service station near the Pentagon that has not been released. Professor Griffin, has the FBI or the Justice Department given a reason why that video has not been released?
The Justice Department said it would compromise national security.
Have they been more specific?
No, this is their standard answer to everything. That's why Sybil Edmonds cannot testify. It would compromise national security.
Well, I have to tell you, I do find Sybil Edmonds quite persuasive, and she's been on my show three times. Let me ask you whether you go further to the other allegations about the Pentagon.
Oh, by the way, you ask about that. There was a story filed in the Richmond Times by Bill McElway, and I report this on pages 37 and 38 of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. And I also give the name of the gas station attendant, so you can get those there.
I will get those there. And, hey, I live close to the Pentagon. I'm going to try to find those people. Let me ask you about some of the other allegations. There are suggestions by many that a plane, in fact, you raised them yourself, Professor Griffin, that a plane did not hit the Pentagon, that, in fact, the hole was too small. Do you think do you give credibility to those allegations, Professor Griffin?
Well, it's certainly the case that when you look at the photograph, the hole does appear to be too small. Now, some people say, oh, that's because the big hole is camouflaged by the water and maybe some of the fire, but mainly the water. And but it's certainly the case when you look at it, and there was even an eyewitness who went to the Pentagon and looked right after and said, how could have a big airplane gone in that tiny hole?
Well, what about the possibility?
There's a prima facie case,
yeah.
And the 9/11 Commission, like it almost did with 98% of the evidence, simply ignored it rather than dealing with it, so it makes you suspicious.
Well, what about the possibility that the plane, as I believe some witnesses have said, was tilted, did not hit it flat on, but in fact was tilted on its side so that the wing would come over the top? If you look at the damage to the Pentagon, you can see it's kind of straight on one end and tilted on the other.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. The hole is, whatever came in there at virtually ground level and pretty much in the, it was not on the corner of the West Wing.
No, that's true. I understand that it hit the middle of the Pentagon. I've seen the hole, by the way. Like I said, I live close to it. But couldn't the plane itself have been tilted so that one wing would have risen above the Pentagon and the other one down below? And couldn't that explain?
No, not at all. You would have. That would have caused even more of an imprint, and wouldn't fit then with this theory that it's the water along the bottom of the Pentagon in these pictures that covers up the hole. So no, there's no way to salvage the notion that the hole. And by the way, the hole that you would have seen would have been the hole after the facade had collapsed. 30 minutes later, but some of these pictures were taken before the facade collapsed, and that's when it looks like the hole is maybe no more than 20 feet in diameter.
Jeff, are you still hanging on the line? Or is Jeff gone? Okay, I guess Jeff is gone.
Jeff's point is well taken, that that rather than endlessly debating these things, the very fact that they will not release the videos supports the prima facie case that whatever it was not a Boeing 757 and was not Flight 77 in particular, or else why not release the information? Why not release the videos?
Well, Professor Griffin, I'll give you and Jeff this. Clearly, if such a video exists and they're not producing it, they're hiding something. And, of course, this is an administration that hides a lot of things, so that doesn't surprise me. But you raised some very tough questions, and we'll get right back to more of those questions and your calls at 877-528-8255, 877-528-TALK, right after this.
This is Newsbreak. NASA has delayed the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery to give its engineers time to fix a problem with one of its four fuel sensors. Deputy Director Wayne Hale says Saturday is the earliest the shuttle could be launched. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist has been hospitalized with a high fever. He is 80 years old, suffering from thyroid cancer. 27 people were killed, 67 wounded by a homicide bombing today in Baghdad. Most of the fatalities, Iraqi children. British officials are searching for a fifth person who may have been the mastermind of last week's deadly bomb attacks in London. Hurricane Hunter aircraft report Tropical Storm Emily is becoming less organized and growing weaker. Emily is now moving over the Windward Islands, heading into the Caribbean. On Wall Street today, the Dow rose 43 points. NASDAQ Composite Index posted fractional gains. The S&P 500 was up a point. There's more news at usaradio.com.
Have a bewitching summer at Super 8 and get $250 in discount coupons with every stay. Enter the Stay a Spell sweepstakes and you'll have a chance to win 1,000,000 trip rewards points. Or play our online game and you could be one of 600 winners of $100 worth of gas. The Super 8 Stay a Spell sweepstakes. It could turn you into a winner. See Bewitched in theaters soon and we'll see you along the way. No purchase necessary. Legal residence 18 or older. Ends 9/15. Subject to rules at super8.com.
I'm here at the hotel lobby with...
Lynn.
Lynn, how would you like to make an easy $10? Oh, I mean, if you book a hotel now on the new Priceline, you will receive a $10 American Express gift check.
Oh.
Stay five nights, get five gift checks. Just come to Priceline. Shop, compare, and book your exact hotel.
Sorry about that.
I kind of liked it. It's only for a limited time, and it's only at the new Priceline. Shop, compare, save. Restrictions apply. See website for...
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Are your allergies acting up? A study suggests that the trouble may lie in your car. Researchers have previously identified home carpets and furniture, especially bedding, as areas where dust mites and pet dander can build up. Many people are allergic to these substances, and no one is surprised to learn that dog and cat debris is highest in homes where there are pets. But a new study published in the Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology has shown surprisingly that cars may carry significant amounts of dog and cat allergens, especially on the driver's seat. Another surprise is that sofas and chairs may also be reservoirs for these troublesome particles, even when there aren't any pets in the home. Presumably, the allergens are carried in on visitors' clothes and settle to stay. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest today is Professor David Ray Griffin of Claremont School of Theology. He is the author of two books, The New Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. The New Pearl Harbor refers to the fact that a large group of officials currently in the Bush administration, formerly in the Project for a New American Century, had said it would take a new Pearl Harbor, in other words, a new terror or attack of that magnitude, in order to convince the American people to support the radical Bush agenda. I don't deny the motivation of the Bush administration or the fact that they've used this crisis for their own purposes. I don't deny they had information prior to the crisis that they should have known to stop it. But David Ray Griffin goes one step further and actually argues complicity. And I'm going over the evidence with him. If you want to call in, and I know there are a bunch of you calling in already, it's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Professor Griffin, I want to ask you about the allegation of explosives in the World Trade Center. The idea seems to be that just as a plane didn't cause the Pentagon damage. A plane didn't cause the damage in the two buildings of the World Trade Center. What is your evidence for that theory?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't make any analogy between the two. I mean, with the World Trade Center, there's no doubt but what they were hit by airplanes.
Okay.
With the Pentagon, everything is in doubt. But with the World Trade Center, I should say there are some people who doubt that they were the flights that they were supposed to be, but that's another question. There's no doubt about they were each hit by a plane.
There were hundreds or thousands of witnesses. Yeah.
Whether the planes would have contributed significantly to the collapses.
Okay.
And actually, even people who endorse the official theory, like Thomas Seeger, who is the most famous proponent of the pancake theory, which is that the floors above the crash zone collapsed because of the fire, which he says weakened the connectors, collapsed on the floors below them. He says that the planes, in terms of the impact on the building, would have had a negligible effect because these buildings were constructed with many times the normal amount of redundancy that's required, and they would have been completely stable, and the planes would not have taken out the many, if any, of the central 47 steel columns that constituted the core, so that he says everything has to be rested on the fire.
Professor Griffin, I'm no engineer, but I do know, and I'm sure you reject this, but I do know the 9/11 Commission report says that basically that the World Trade Center was not like other buildings. It, in fact, was sort of a hollow steel tube with most of the structure being on the outside. You reject that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the most – when people say what are the most audacious lies, because I've come up with an article that shows that I had summarized 115 lies in the 9/11 Commission report. And they say, what are the really big ones? Well, this is always one of the top two, because everybody knows. I mean, it's in all the magazines. It's in everything you look at in terms of the construction of the World Trade Center, that there were 47 massive steel columns that ran from the sub-basements to up above the roof. And the problem with the pancake theory is that even if it were remotely plausible, and we can get into why it isn't, but even if it were, it would be like the old phonographs, the old 78s, when sometimes the records would pancake down, but you still had the spindle sticking up in the middle. You would have had these 47 steel columns sticking up 1,000 feet, or at least several hundred. Even if you're going to say, well, at the top they were thinner, so maybe they broke off. But it was several hundred feet into the air. But the towers collapsed into a pile, no more than three stories high.
Well, let me ask you this:
the 9/11 Commission had to have some sort of explanation how that would be possible. So they just told this enormous lie, and said that the weight was borne by the peripheral columns around the outside, and that the core of each tower consisted of a hollow steel shaft.
Let me ask you this, and then I've got to get to my callers who are filling up the board here. But
you should gasp when I say that. So I mean, that's just astounding.
Well, it is. The question is this: if the pancake theory is incorrect, then the only alternative, of which I'm aware, and I think it's the one you're expounding, is that somebody purposely planted an enormous number of explosives. I mean, you couldn't do it in one or two or five or 12, right?
Building. Like you say, an enormous number. So it required an enormous advanced planning.
So why wouldn't there be any witnesses to this? Where is the person that says, you know what, I saw some guy skulking around the central core tower?
There are.
Okay.
I quote some people who say that in the months leading up to 9/11, there would be periods when certain parts of the towers were roped off, were closed off to all but these so-called engineers. And they had, I forget now what the cover story was, but there was some excuse or they had to go in. And so you've got that plus the fact, which again the 9/11 Commission and the newspapers don't tell you, that the people who were head of security for the World Trade Center, two of the principals in that company, were one of Bush's brothers, Marvin, and his cousin, Walker, Wirt Walker III. And, you know, that ought to be newsworthy.
Well, I think it is newsworthy. Let me ask one more question, then I've got to get to my callers. How many people would you estimate, having examined this in some detail, if there is this very large, and you may bristle at the word conspiracy, but indeed a planning of a large number of people to murder thousands of Americans to help the president do a new Pearl Harbor, whatever you want to call it, conspiracy seems to be accurate. If there is such a conspiracy, how many people would you think would have to know about it?
Yeah, and I certainly do not reject the term conspiracy.
Fair
in
enough.
Fact, I have a section on that early in the book and say that it's rather strange that people use conspiracy theory to mean something nutty, because our newspapers and TVs are filled with conspiracies that we believe in all the time.
Would this be 10, 20, 100, 500 people, 1,000? How many?
You know, it's hard to estimate, but when one reads about covert operations of other types, you learn that what they do is people learn only, you know, on a need-to-know basis. So they're just told, here's what you're supposed to do. And if they say, well, now, why am I supposed to? Well, you don't need to know that. You just do this. And then afterwards, they're told to keep their mouth shut, and that's it. Now, we don't know what kind of threats there are. Sybil has reported that she was actually threatened in the sense that they said, you know, that her sister in Turkey might not be so safe.
Professor Griffin, I want to interrupt you just because I have dealt a lot with Sybil Evans, who, by the way, I really like. I think she's a real American hero, and I want to get to some of my callers. Let me get to Doug from Phoenix. Doug, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Dr. Griffin, I don't recall in either of your books, which I have read, and I think you've done a great job, but I don't recall you coming across anything that I've come across in my research, and I wanted to see if maybe you had and just hadn't put it in your books. It's regarding the aircraft. Currently, as of June 12th was the last time I checked this information out on, and I used the NIST site to find the registration numbers for the aircraft that were involved in the attacks on September 11th. And according to the FAA, after retrieving the N numbers from the NIST site, and I go over to the FAA site.
You're going to have to make your point a little more quickly. I'm sorry, because we're up on a break.
I do a search on the N numbers for the corresponding. Two of the aircraft are showing on the FAA records as destroyed. Both of them are the American Airlines. The other two aircraft, both United's, are showing as currently valid registered aircraft that are still in use.
Okay, got it. So the question is, and when I go to the break, I'm going to give a chance to Professor Griffin to answer after the break. But the question is, of the four aircraft that were reportedly involved in 9/11, two, the Americans, are mentioned as destroyed, and two, the United ones, are mentioned as currently in use. We're going to ask Professor Griffin to answer that question right after these messages.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back. There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest, Professor David Ray Griffin of Claremont School, has written two books that suggest the Bush administration is complicit in September 11th, not just negligent, not just having reason to know the attacks were going to occur and not preventing them, but actually involved in them. He raises a lot of difficult questions, and I'll be the first to admit that it's virtually impossible to go into all or even most of them in the hour we have. To do that, you're going to have to buy his books, which you can receive on Amazon.com or any number of places. But we are talking about the more difficult questions, and we are taking your calls. And the question before the break relates to the four planes that were involved in the hijacking, or perhaps I should say purportedly involved in the hijacking. The American planes that were said to be destroyed, the United planes, according to official sites that our caller Doug from Phoenix has checked, say they are still in use. Professor Griffin, do you have a response to that?
This is not one of the sides of the story that I have studied enough to speak about. I learned about it only after I had finished both of my books, and it certainly looked like it was worthy of study, and I was going through my computer here to see if I could find the information, and I can't. So
okay.
I just
fair enough. You present a lot of
there's some mystery.
Fair enough.
That yeah.
You present a lot of powerful evidence on other topics. You don't have to know everything about every detail. Doug from Phoenix, do you have another question, or is that it?
No, that's it. I just wanted to say that I think everyone should be reading his book.
Thank you,
especially the last one.
Fair enough. Thank you. And by the way, I fully support the notion that the 9/11 Commission has not told the full story. Indeed, when I was working in Congress at the time, the president made clear, first of all, he opposed the commission, but even after it was set up, that they weren't allowed to talk about how the president used intelligence. So a whole part of the importance of 9/11 was off topic. But of course, Professor Griffin raises even more strenuous suggestions that I have. If what I've reported is true, the president should be impeached. If what Professor Griffin has reported is true, then the president should and these whoever's involved in the conspiracy, I think, should be tried and executed. Let me go to the phones. Michelle from Long Beach, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
I truly appreciate your guest's insight. I have yet to read his books. Just because there is just so many issues that we're having to face today.
Fair enough.
it's
true.
But I appreciate that, and you can tell David that. My question is does David know of the FAA's getting rid of the tapes or the documentation of the planes, not, you know, the black box.
You're talking about the black boxes in each of the planes.
And also, does he understand the situation with Building 7 and the owner of Building 7 stating on, I believe, PBS that they told us they were going to pull it?
Well, let me give my impressions of the answers here, and then I'll go right to Professor Griffin. My understanding is that the black boxes in the planes that hit the World Trade Center were not found, that the conflagration, if you will, was too large to find those, but that they did find it in the Pentagon, I think, but I'll get to him in a second. Larry Silverstein said that given the tremendous loss of life that had already occurred with firefighters and policemen, that they should pull it, meaning he has said pull the firefighters and policemen from the World Trade Center 7. Don't fight the blaze because there had been enough death that day. But Professor Griffin, do you have answers to those questions?
On the first one, you've got another issue that I'm not quite up to speed on, but Certainly, there seems to be, there have been reports that the so-called black boxes, really orange boxes, were found
for all four
but
planes.
Not officially reported.
As I recall, they were found for the one in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and weren't they also found for the Pentagon?
Yes, they said they found them very early morning, about 3 days later.
Of those two, but not the two in the World Trade Center,
well,
right?
That's what they say.
Okay, you say that's what they say. Obviously, you're suspicious of this.
Well, I am, but I say I don't have any concrete information here.
Well, let me ask you this. One of your claims that I find less persuasive, and many of the things you say I do find persuasive, so I don't mean to knock you here, but is when you say you don't know that a plane... maybe I guess that a Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon. Maybe
that's right.
Do you think it could have been a lesser plane? Is that your suggestion? Where would this black box come from in the Pentagon if a plane didn't hit the Pentagon?
Well, when they find it 3 days later, it could have been brought in.
I see. Could have been brought in afterwards. I got it. And let me ask you Michelle's second question. That has to do with World Trade Center 7.
That's right. Larry Silverstein's and by the way, do you know the pronunciation? I've never got
I really don't.
Silverstein or Silverstein.
I really don't. I've only seen it in print myself, so
okay.
I can't tell you.
In any case, he certainly did say that, and some people have tried to put that interpretation on it, but when you read the statement or when you hear it on the recording, and as I quoted in the book, it's very hard to put any other interpretation on it because he just said, well, we decided to pull it, and then he says, and we watched it come down.
You know, we may just agree to disagree on this one.
The important thing is not so much that. I mean, that's just an interesting little side. You know, the important thing is to look at the evidence about Building 7 and first of all realize that never before in human history has a steel frame high-rise building been brought down by fire. And with Building 7, one reason it's so important is nobody can say, well, the plane sort of weakened it, softened it up, and it was all that jet fuel
kerosene
were a big thing.
And we
don't have that with Building 7. It had to be entirely the fire. And yet we're saying, oh, well, first time in history, fire brought down a building.
Professor Griffin, it's a good point. We have to take another break. Michelle, thank you very much for your call. I want to ask you more about World Trade Center 7 when we come back. Specifically, I've read somewhere that there were large amounts of fuel stored in World Trade Center 7 that may explain its falling down. I want you to address that. And then we've got another caller for you, all in the 5 minutes after we return.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, 3 episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com or, if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com.
When I'm under, I don't breathe. I'm weightless. My heart races. I'm floating away. And when it's over, all I think about is doing it again.
Michael Swan is under the influence of his volunteer swim coach. Spending a little time coaching, he helps neighborhood kids like Michael stay off the street and off drugs. So, share a skill, a passion, a hobby with kids in your community, and you can make a big difference. That's because kids who enjoy a regular positive activity with an adult are less likely to begin using drugs or alcohol. Find out how you can be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
from Washington. More of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We only have 4 minutes left and so much to cover. I may have to have Professor Griffin back on another day if he will honor me with his presence. But I want to try to get an answer to this question and then get to two other callers. So if you could try to make it short, Professor Griffin. There have been some accounts that there was fuel stored in World Trade Center 7 that may have caused the explosion. Was fuel stored there? And why couldn't it have caused the explosion?
Well, I mean, there was diesel fuel, but we have to go back to the, first of all, the basic point. Fire never brings down steel frame buildings.
Okay.
Secondly, you have to look at the precise way in which these buildings were brought down. And they come down at virtually free fall speed. They come down, particularly Building 7, is just classic demolition, controlled demolation all the way. It
okay.
looks exactly like the classic example.
I get your point. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm trying to get to two callers, two first-time callers, in fact. Roger from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, my name is Roger, and I run 911blogger.com, and I wanted to first off say thanks to Dr. Griffin, and second, I wanted to make a couple comments on your previous caller, one of them who had mentioned Flight 77 and wanting to get a Freedom of Information Act.
You're going to have to do it in 1 minute. Sorry, Roger. Go.
No, that's fine. There's a website called flight77.info that is all about the Freedom of Information Act request about Flight 77. The due date is July 31st for the Department of Justice to respond or release that videotape. Second, the comments about the poll comments. First off, people don't refer to people as it. He said pull it. Second off, that building was evacuated at 9 in the morning, so it wouldn't be possible for him to say pull it, as in pull the firefighters out of the building, because there were no firefighters in the building. And again, thank you to Dr. Griffin for his great work, and 911blogger.com.
Thank you, Roger, for calling in. I'm sorry that I had to make it short, but I want to get to my last caller, which is Jay from Illinois. Jay, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to David and especially the last caller who has a great website. I also wanted to mention a couple of websites real quick for people who are just beginning to hear about this kind of information. 911busters.com would be a great place to start. You can download all kinds of different truth conferences as well as David Ray Griffin's speeches. And I just wanted to say to David that it seems pretty obvious between Larry Silverstein's admissions and Bush saying he saw the first plane hit the building before he went into the school on the morning of 9/11. There seemed to be a lot of, like, everybody kind of making little attentional slips to almost admit their guilt. And I was wondering why he thinks maybe they've made it so obvious.
That's a very good question, but
thank
it's
you.
A very big story. And I do have some speculations about it, but...
Go for it. You've got about a minute. Give us your speculations.
Well, I mean, one theory is that they really want to say, kind of with a wink, well, of course we did this, and don't you dare talk about it in public, because if we can do this, we can do anything.
Okay. Let me just ask you this, and we only have about 30 seconds left. If you had to make a case and say, this is my strongest piece of evidence, the biggest smoking gun, and I know you have several. In fact, I've seen them. Just list off for me 2, 3, 4 of the most powerful pieces of evidence for your theories.
Well, there's the collapses of the three buildings of the World Trade Center.
Okay.
There is the apparent stand down plus the three different stories. There's
okay.
the event with Bush and the Secret Service that morning where Secret Service clearly seemed to know that there was no danger for Bush when he was at the school in Sarasota.
Okay.
And then I would say the 9/11 Commission report itself, many people have